All right, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 tonight. And tonight I'm going to read verse 10 through verse 17. Verse 10 through verse 17. Now, there's one thing I want you to notice, and I don't know how I missed this last two lessons, but especially last week, I don't know how I missed this. But look at the first nine verses and look at how many references there are to Christ, Jesus Christ. Notice that how many references. In verse 1, Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. Verse 2, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints with all that in every place call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord. All right, verse 3, grace and peace from God and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So there it is again. Verse 4. The grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. His name is not mentioned in verse 5, but the pronoun him is used. Then verse 6, even as the testimony of Christ. Then verse 7, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then verse 8, in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 9, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Wow. I mean, wow. You say, well, how'd you miss that? Well, I don't know. But when I was looking at tonight's lesson, and look at verse 13, is Christ divided? Well, if you go back and look at verse 1 through verse 9, the answer very clearly is no. No. Christ is it. He's the focus. The Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about Paul. It's not about Apollos. It's not about Peter. It's not about anybody on this planet. It's not about baptism. It's not about communion. It's not about the church. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about Pastor Holbrook or Pastor Young. It's not about. It's about Christ. Amen. Just all about Jesus. All right. So with that. Now look at verse 10. He says, "Now I beseech you, brethren," and there it is again, "by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided?" That's a rhetorical question. And the answer is, of course, no. All right, now here's his argument. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? What's the answer to that? No, of course not. Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? No, no. And then he says, "I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in my own name. I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect." All right, now, tonight, I want to speak from these verses, and we're going to get right to the heart of the first item that Paul deals with in this book. And the first item is found in verse 11, at the end of the verse, where he says that there are contentions among you. So that's what we're going to look at tonight, contentions among you. All right, let's pray, and then our study. Father, I pray now your blessings upon us. Thank you for the opportunity to open the scriptures tonight. And I pray you'll help me as I speak and help our folks as they listen. Father, we always want to do justice to the Word of God, and so I pray that you will help me to say what I need to say tonight and just bless it from on high. Give us understanding. Help us to rightly divide the word of truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to look tonight at the first, carnality. You remember that the book is divided, the first 11 chapters, where Paul deals with carnalities in this Corinthian church. He got a letter from the house of Chloe, from somebody in the house of Chloe, according to verse 11, and they reported to Paul that there were some carnal things going on in the church, and some fleshly things, some things that were not spiritual things, but carnal things. And so Paul deals with those carnalities that were plaguing the Corinthian church. And then the second section begins at chapter 12, and Paul goes through the end of the book dealing with spiritualities and some of the things, spiritually speaking, that the church was dealing with, like the tongues issue and all of that. So there were some struggles that they were having with carnality, with carnal things. And the first of those carnal things is what is introduced here in this paragraph that is found in the first chapter, in between verse 10 and verse 17. Now, we learned in our lesson 2 weeks ago that the Apostle Paul came to Corinth, and he stayed in Corinth a couple of years, worked as a tent maker in order to eat, and that he started this church from scratch. Many people were saved in that 2 year time that Paul was there, and they joined up with the church. And in the midst of this booming city was a thriving church that was up and running. And once Paul got it up and running, he went on. He moved on up the road and left the church to take care of itself. And of course, there were some problems. And in one of the households in that church, the household of Chloe, Paul received information that there were some serious issues that needed addressed. And that's why Paul sent the letter back. Now, these matters were not just rumors, but were issues that were supported by facts. And he knew exactly what was happening, and no doubt knew the people that were involved, and it was with that information that he writes the letter and proceeds to correct the problems. Now, if you look at verse 11, you will see here in verse 11 that the first matter that was dealt with was the matter of contentions in the church. In verse 11, he says that in Chloe's letter, it was mentioned that there were contentions in the Corinthian church. Now, I checked this word from every angle that I could find in my study, in my office, and it's an amazing little word. Really, it's an amazing little word, and and as I checked it, what Chloe was telling Paul was that one of their carnalities was they had a bunch of different folks in the church who were quarreling amongst themselves. All right, that was the issue. There were battles that were going on in the church, and from the word that was used here, it seems like that they did not just have differences of opinion, but their differences of opinion had degenerated into fighting with one another, into quarrels, into church members wrangling with one another. And the church had broken up into all these different factions, and basically all of those different factions, although under the same umbrella of the Christian church, they were all at one another's throats. And there was contention. There was division. It's not like they just disagreed. It's that they were fussing about their disagreement. They were fighting over their disagreements. And that's the idea behind the word contentions. It is a strong word that was used by the Apostle Paul. Now, in the verses that I read to you tonight, verse 10 through verse 17, this is where Paul is going to deal with these quarrels, with these contentions. Now, please understand this. He is not going to deal with them in this paragraph that I read for you tonight fully and finally. All right? But he is going to begin in these verses. This section dealing with the divisions among the members of the church starts here in chapter 1 in verse 10, and it is discussed all the way through the end of chapter 1, including chapter 2 and including chapter 3. It's not going to be until we get to chapter 4, verse 1, that Paul changes gears and goes from the divisions and the contentions that were going on in the church to another subject. So three chapters are going to be used to deal with the subject of divisions in the church. Now, in this paragraph, he just kind of lays it out there like as if to say, hey, I know the problem. I was told the problem. And here's what we're going to do about it. And so that's the process in which he starts with this paragraph. Paul deals in this paragraph very broadly, and he introduces the first item that is going to be addressed. And there are three areas in which I want us to look at this paragraph. There are three areas, three things I want you to see. First, I want you to notice in verse 10 that there is an appeal made by Paul. There is an appeal made. Now, that's found in verse 10. And then secondly, we're going to see that Paul identifies in verse 12, he identifies the fact of their problem. And the fact of their problem was, here's four groups within the church. This is a fact. There were some that said, I'm of Paul. Some said, I'm of Apollos. Some said, I'm of Cephas, that's Peter. And some said, I am of Christ. So that's the fact. Paul said, I know what's going on. I've been told. So don't deny it. You can't wiggle out of this. All right? And so he lays the fact out so that they could not get away from it. And then number three, we're going to look briefly when we get, if we get to it, we're going to look thirdly at Paul's suggested way to correct the issue. There, he's just going to briefly tell them how to correct it. And then he's going to spend the next 2.5 chapters showing them how to correct it, basically. All right? But he's going to tell them how this is going to be corrected. All right, so first of all, go back to verse 10 and notice that first there is an appeal made by Paul. In verse 10, let's read it. He says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." That's Paul's appeal. Now, folks, look at me. Wouldn't that be great? Let's be honest. Wouldn't that be great? You remember reading on the day of Pentecost, and it says that the disciples in Acts chapter 2, and it says that they were all in one accord in one place, and they were all of the same mind. Well, I'm telling you, church has not been in that condition since. We really haven't. Now, you stop and think about this, folks. How many gospels is there? One. How many churches are there? Huh? Thousands and thousands, all under the same umbrella of Christianity. How many gospels? One. 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 And yet look at the divisions. Oh my, don't tell me the devil doesn't know what he's doing. In verse 10, you cannot help but notice that there is just an urgent plea and moving in the way Paul words his appeal. In view of the fact that God is faithful, remember that from last week, verse 9? God is faithful. God is faithful. And in view of the fact that God is faithful and that he has called them or had called them into the fellowship of his son, verse 9, Paul says in verse 10, "I beseech you, brethren." That's an appeal, folks. I beg of you. I plead with you. It's the idea of an appeal. It's also the idea of an argument, all in one word. The word beseech, and this was something that I did not know, but in studying for the Bible study tonight, the word beseech has the word in our English Bible that is beseech is the same word in the New Testament that is the word paraclete. Now, you know what a paraclete is? A paraclete, that is one of the great names that the Lord Jesus gave to the Holy Spirit. Do you remember when in John, when Jesus was in the upper room with the disciples, and they were, and they left there, and he was teaching them. And it says that Jesus said that when he was gone, he would send another paraclete, another comforter. All right, so that's the word that is translated beseech. And he, Christ, was our comforter. He was our advocate. He was going to send another comforter when he went back to heaven, the Holy Spirit, another advocate. And so just think of the suggestiveness of those two concepts. An advocate, one who argues within us the cause of Christ. And then a comforter, one who by his fellowship, the fellowship of Christ, causes us to realize that we are never alone, but we have been adopted into a huge and wonderful family called the family of God. And Paul says, "I beseech you through the name of the Lord Jesus, of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, take the first 9 verses and see how constantly Paul referred to that one or Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ the Lord, or the Lord Jesus Christ, or His Son, Christ Jesus our Lord. Folks, listen, that great title occurs 9 times in those 9 verses. So mark the urgency of it. Note the urgency of it. So what is the appeal that Paul is making? Well, look at verse 10. The appeal is that we all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. The church is to be perfectly joined in the same mind and judgment. Now, what was this same mind, this same thing, this same judgment? Well, look back at 4 and 5 for just a minute, verse 4 and 5 for just a minute. Paul said in verse 4, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by Him, in all utterance and in all knowledge. Now, folks, what is he saying there? They were to all be of the same mind and same judgment concerning the message that they had been given from the Lord. Folks, we only have one message from the Lord. Right here. And so Paul says, we are to be of one mind, the same mind concerning what we've gotten from the Lord. There's only one book, one Bible. They had all gotten the same message from the Lord, the same word from the Lord. So the appeal made by Paul was for everyone to speak the same thing. Take first the matter of opinion. Paul said, be of the same mind. Be of the same mind so that you don't have these varying views upon which you insist, because that is what is causing your divisions and your contentions. Truth is, folks, everybody has opinions, right? They're like noses. Everybody's got one, right? Sure, you know that to be true. But the problem is, listen to me now, the problem is when we allow our opinions to cause us to be divided from one another. I'm talking about church, the church. I'm glad that God has made each one of us different. We're not all the same. We don't all like olive suits with a stripe in it. Okay? We don't all like gold ties. Some of us have gray hair. Some of us have no hair. Some of us have blonde hair. Some of us have black hair. Some of us have... We're not all like. Some of us are big and some of us are bigger. All right? I know. I'm being very careful. Some of us are tall. Some of us are short. I mean, you know... Variety is the spice of life, and we're all different. But Paul says, when it comes to the things of God, when it comes to the Bible, when it comes to the things that God has revealed to us through the Word, the things of Christ, verse 5, the knowledge of the Lord, Paul said, be one, speak the same thing. And yet we can't do that, can we? We just can't seem to do that for some reason. So Paul is saying, I beseech you, hey church, get your thinking right. That's what he's saying. Get your thinking right. And when your thinking is right, that will cause you to get your speech right. And when your thinking is right and your speech is right, the divisions will go away. And you will all be, verse 10, perfectly joined together. The picture is that of a mosaic. All right, let's put it in a let's put it in the 21st century here. Okay, the picture is like a jigsaw puzzle. All right, we may not know much about mosaics. We don't do mosaics today. All right, but you've seen a mosaic, right? Those of you that have been to Israel with us, you've seen the mosaics that they made back years ago. And you know that it took hours and days and weeks and months to do some of the mosaics that they built. Little old tiny squares of glass. And it had to take someone or several someones months to make some of the mosaics that you see over there. All right, so picture that. There is no piece in a mosaic. There's no piece in a jigsaw puzzle that is absolutely perfect. And there is no piece exactly like another piece. But when each piece is in its exact place, then the whole is seen. All right, and that's what the Lord wants in the church. That's what Paul was thinking about concerning the church and what he was praying would happen in the church. So get your mind right. Then your speech will be right. And there will be no more divisions and no more contentions, no more disharmony in the body. All right, then, second thing, Paul identifies the fact of their problem. I think he just wants them to know, hey, listen, I'm not speaking generally here. Without naming names, okay? He doesn't name names, but he lets them know the fact that he knows what's going on. You see, he didn't have to name names if he can name groups. If he can identify the groups that are divided, all right? If he can get them to look at themselves and go, oh, wait a minute, yeah, that's me, all right? That's what he's doing here. He says in verse 12, now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, or and I am of Apollos, and I am of Cephas, and I am of Christ. Now, what was the matter with the people in this church? What was their problem? What caused this division among them? What was the root of the contention and this wrangling that was going on in the church? All right, now, let me make sure you realize something here. I want to make sure that you get this thought. Different views, and I mentioned this a minute ago, different views are wrong only when they produce wrong results. All right? When they divide the body into divisions, they're wrong. When they divide, we're not all going to agree on everything. I said that a moment ago. All right, if everybody comes in Sunday wearing the same olive-colored suit and gold tie, we got a problem. All right, and Carroll County Times would be down here going, why are all you people dressing like the pastor? Y'all got something, y'all got a cult thing going here. You're crazy, y'all crazy. Why are all y'all parting your hair on the left-hand side? All right? Why are all of you wearing wide rim glasses? All right, y'all got a cult thing going on down there. All right, that's where you get. I remember when I first got saved. Jack Hiles was sort of America's pastor, and all the preachers in America would go to Hammond, Indiana, for pastor school. And I don't know what happened. I guess we'll not know until we get to heaven, but Hiles got this cough. I think it was just a nervous tick, if you want my opinion, but that's just my opinion. But he got this cough, and he was constantly clearing his throat. Do you remember that? You remember that? Where'd he go? Did a rapture happen? He was the only one, right? Where'd he go? You're not feeling well? All right, but he had this cough, and he would be, he would go, and while he was talking, and it was like that every few seconds. And now, and then all of a sudden, preachers all over America, they start coughing while they're preaching. Yes. Yes. When I was in college, we had a guy on the Bible faculty. He was one of the greatest preachers in America. His name was George Dollar. And Dr. Dollar was a unique individual. There is just no other way to say it. He was just a unique individual. And I took every class that I could, that I could squeeze in from Dr. Dollar. I mean, the guy was a genius. He was an absolute genius. But he was a tremendous preacher. And they would have him preach in chapel. They would have him preach at the Bible conference. They would have, I mean, everybody just loved it when he preached. And Dr. Dollar would put his thumb in his coat pocket. He was just weird. If I stood up here and did this, you all would say, Pastor, can't you find something to do with your hand? I mean, what's the problem here? Well, he would put his thumb in his coat pocket, and then he would turn his head that way and look at that wall and preach the paint off the walls. I mean, seriously. And then you go to pulpit speech class, and inevitably, some kid gets up, sticks his thumb in his pocket, turns his head sideways, and preaches to the wall. And you just sit there and go, oh, my soul, what is wrong with you? You know, different views are wrong only when they produce wrong results. And when you divide the body into divisions and splits and get one group of Christians quarreling against another, then it's wrong. All right? And Paul does not reveal the reason for the division until you get to chapter 3 and verse 1. And in 3:1, he's going to tell us that the problem is carnality. Look at 3:1 real quick. Just jump over there. He said, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto what? Carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet are now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believe?" They're just men. Folks, look at me. The best of men are only men at their best. And they're sinners. Saved by grace, but they're sinners. And that's Paul's point. He said, I have planted, Apollos watered, but it's God that gives the increase. So you'll see that Paul says the problem is carnality. They were not spiritual. They were carnal. That was the problem. That was what was wrong. But here's the problem. All right, you ready? Hang on. Here's the problem. They were proud of their divisions. It was a badge of honor for them. Oh, yeah, boy, I'm of Paul. Oh, yeah, well, I'm of Apollos. Oh, my hero is Peter. It's sad, isn't it? They were proud of their divisions. It was like they had chosen teams at Corinth, and everybody was quarreling and fussing, and that if you weren't on their team. And yet they were so proud of their own team. Look for a minute at verse 17. Here is the key to seeing the conflict in verse 17. "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Paul said that the Lord sent him to preach the gospel of Christ, and that he was not preaching the gospel with the wisdom of words. It seems to me that this was what the divisions were all about, the wisdom of words. You see, folks, church is not about personalities. It's not about men, but we make it about men, don't we? It's about the gospel. Apollos was this golden-tongued orator. Everything history tells us about Apollos was the fact that he was an amazing orator. He could hold a crowd. He had the voice. He had the intellect. He had the knowledge. He could just do it. And people, oh, I'm of Apollos. And then there was Peter. Man, there's always an element that likes the Peters of this world, you know? Brash, bold. You know, every time he opened his mouth, it was to change feet. You know? Yeah, he's always sticking his foot in his mouth. That's Peter. And there's this element that just likes bold. And after all, Peter spent 3.5 years walking with Jesus, remember? 3.5 years. Wow, I bet he had some stories to tell. And then there was Paul, the apostle of the hour. You know, Paul was new. And he was the one that founded the church. Many of these people, if not all of them, most of them were led to Christ by Paul. So naturally there would be an element that once everybody started teaming up and dividing up, that group said, well, we're going to be loyal to Paul. I mean, after all, it's Paul that led us to the Lord. And when men, listen to me now, when men decided which team they were on based on the wisdom of words, Paul said such behavior is just carnal. The wisdom of words was what characterized these people. Listen, folks, those of you that have been saved, and you've studied 1 Corinthians in Sunday school, or you've had a pastor that preached on it before. Every student of the Bible learns when they study 1 Corinthians that the spirit of the city of Corinth had entered into the church. We all learned that. We've all heard that. That the spirit of Corinth entered into the church. And that is always a great peril to any church. Now listen to me. One of the fundamental tenets, and I know because I've read their material. I went out and got their books, and I read them. And one of the fundamental tenets of this emerging church movement is that they say the pastor has to catch the spirit of the age. Now, folks, I deny that emphatically. Our work is not to catch the spirit of the age. It is to correct the spirit of the age. The spirit of the age is not the benchmark. Right here is the benchmark. If the spirit of the age does not match up to what thus saith the Lord, fooey on the spiritual, the spirit of the age, let's stick with the book. Amen. So there is a difference between catching the spirit, being mastered by it, and then correcting it. There's a difference. And these people were in Corinth not to be affected in this church. They were not to be affected by Corinth, but they were to affect Corinth. The city was filled with Christians. Remember now, they weren't coming and meeting in a church house like we are. They were meeting in homes. They were meeting in houses everywhere throughout the city. And the wisdom of words had captured their carnal natures, and they glorified or gloried in their divisions. They gloried in them. All of them professing to be believers and professing to be Christians, and yet each house was divided against the house that was closest to it. What was an unbelieving citizen of Corinth supposed to believe when he saw that? Huh? I mean, they can't even get along with one another and they want you to join up with them? And folks, that's exactly what the world, a lot of the world looks at church today. Because you've got this one umbrella called Christianity and you got thousands of representatives underneath that. And so the world says, you don't even agree with the guy across the street. I mean, what are we supposed to think? Well, that's where you got to stay by the book. Just got to stay by the book. All right? So what was an unbelieving citizen supposed to believe? They're all arguing about phrases and words, and they were divided around all these false emphases. All right, then number three, quickly. Yeah, we got just about enough time. Number three, look at Paul's suggested way to correct this issue. Now, don't forget, Paul has named the Lord Jesus 9 times in the introduction of the book. And yet, in verse 13, he boldly exclaims, he boldly asks in verse 13, is Christ divided? Is Christ broken up? Listen, folks, any one element which separates has some element in it that is wrong. Let that sink into you. And it took me hours to come up with that. Now, don't tell me you don't get it. I knew what I wanted to say. I just couldn't get it to come out right. And I sat and thought about this forever. All right, let me read it to you again. Any one element which separates has some element in it that is wrong. Does that make sense to you? Any one element which separates us has some element in it that is wrong. Anything which breaks in upon the unity of Christ and His message has something in it that is wrong. Is Christ divided? No. No, He's not. And look at look at Paul's wonderful personal application in verse 13. He says, let me prove it to you. Is Christ divided? No, let me prove it to you. Was Paul crucified for you? No, of course not. Paul wasn't crucified for anybody. Were you baptized in the name of Paul? Well, of course not. Of course not. And by the way, you could say the same thing. Was Apollos crucified for anybody in the Corinthian church? No. Was anybody in Corinth baptized in the name of Apollos? Did anybody go down to the creek and the preacher say, in the name of Apollos, I now baptize? No. No, of course not. Were any of you baptized in any of it? No, the cross, the crucifixion, Jesus, that is the ground upon which Christianity stands. Christ is the center of all that we do. Christ is the focus. Let's do all we can to do away with these cults of personality that only calls us to display our carnality. Here's the bottom line, folks. The cross is the foundation of Christianity. And once you have come to Christ through the cross, you are baptized of the Holy Spirit of God. It is about God. It's about God the Father. It's about God the Son. It's about God the Holy Spirit. It's about God the end. Case closed. It's not about the preacher. It's not about this preacher. It's not about that preacher. It's not about this Bible college, and it's not about that Bible college. It's not about this man. It's not about that man. It's not about the wisdom of this man or the fancy words of that man. No, sir. Paul says, I was sent to preach the gospel. The gospel. Not in a way that divides you, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. In other words, lest the cross of Christ should have no effect. You know, folks, look at me. I'm not trying to be unkind here, but mercy, this is where we are today. This is where we are today. I'm telling you, folks, the cross of Christ has no effect today. People don't care. They are so hardened to the truth, to the Bible. They are so burned by church. By the, you know, I cannot tell you how many people have told me, well, I used to go to church. Oh, yeah, what happened? Well, we had this big blow up, and my family got caught right in the middle of it. And I just made up my mind, I'll never go back to another one. I cannot tell you how many times I've heard that through the years. I cannot tell you how many people have come here and have sat here for years before they joined, if they ever did. Sat here for years. And you say, why haven't you joined a church? Well, 30 years ago. And they tell me about World War III that broke out 30 years ago. And how their family was right in the middle of it. And dad got burned. Mom got hurt. The kids got, you know, it's got drawn into it. And nobody wants anything to do with it anymore. And why? Because of all the contentions among you. It's been told me that there's contentions among you. And it's all those contentions among us that has made the cross of Christ of none effect. Now, thank God there are still folks that get saved every now and then. But truth be told, you can't hardly get anybody to come to church anymore. It's everywhere. It is everywhere. I had a preacher call me today. He said, brother, I am so discouraged. I don't know what to do. He said, I want to quit. And I said, seriously. He goes, seriously. If I called his name, all of you would know who he is. And he said, I want to quit. And I said, why? He said, they won't come to church. He said, I'm talking about, I got deacons. I got Sunday school teachers, and they won't come to church. I've got people that won't come to church. He said, they won't come to church. They won't do anything. I can't get them to do anything. I've poured my heart out. I have preached myself silly. I don't know what to do. I just don't know what to do. And I said, well, do you know, brother, what you're describing? You are describing church all over America. It's everywhere. Why? Well, because I hear that there are contentions among you. Now, folks, listen. You may not like the way I part my hair. You may not like the way I wear my glasses. I can't help it. I can't afford new ones. But we got to stay by the book. I don't want you disagreeing with me about the book. All right? You can't disagree with me about the book. You can't disagree. You might not like the suit I got on. You may not like my tie. You may not like my cologne. You may not like, I mean, you know, you may not. But you cannot disagree with the book. You with me on that? I mean, and as he moves on, he's going to have a lot more to say about all this. But here is where he begins to clarify the unifying message of Christ. And that's what it is. Once we get that message clear, it's like the jigsaw puzzle and all the pieces fit. And when you get over to chapter 12 and 13 and 14 and you get to the spiritualities, you get to the spiritual things, and he starts talking about how everybody in the church has been gifted by the Holy Spirit. And he said, now we don't all have the same gifts. But whatever area that you are gifted, that's a piece of the puzzle, and you're to be put into the body. You're to be put in to make that mosaic, to make that beautiful picture. All right? So, yep, it is good. All right, so that's where we are. I hope that helps you.